and this week's Complaint Corner, Gina Carano, the Snyder Cut, and some other shit. This is Critically Complained. Hi, I'm Adam, and this is Steve, and the first thing we're going to do is talk about Gina Carano, which, this is so funny to me. I love this story. I really do. So, Gina Carano has been fired from future seasons of The Mandalorian and all future Star Wars projects by Disney because she just couldn't stop posting horrible shit on social media. Generally, we try to avoid politics on this show. I don't really want to get super deep into that. But if you're comparing being a modern-day conservative to being a Jew in the Holocaust, maybe you're exaggerating. And maybe you shouldn't post that. A good rule of thumb is never compare yourself to a Jew in the Holocaust.
That actually is pretty solid advice, yeah.
Like, so...
Like, just
so
as a general rule, maybe.
Yeah, just going forward for everybody, regardless of your political opinions, if you think that you are like a Jew in the Holocaust, before you say that to anybody, just take a second and really think about that. Just think about how that might be interpreted and whether or not that's appropriate, and maybe decide not to say that anywhere, because that's fucked up. like, don't do that. Just don't do that.
Especially when your Star Wars
but
job
anyway,
is on the line.
Yeah, honestly, like, Gina Carano was a part of the biggest Star Wars show, like, ever. Like, this is basically the biggest show going on right now. This is, like, the new Game of Thrones. Like, this is a pop culture, like, phenomenon. It's huge. And she got herself fired because she just couldn't stop saying shitty things on Instagram. Like, what is wrong with you, lady? Oh my God. Steve, are you going to miss Gina Carano, or are you like, oh, whatever?
I think I remember saying when I was watching The Mandalorian that I wasn't really that interested in her being there. And I remember specifically expressing my opinions that if she was a leader of that, whatever the fuck spinoff show it was, I didn't care.
Rangers.
So I'm not
New
affected
Republic,
by this
yeah.
at all.
Yeah, I agree. I liked her character well enough in The Mandalorian. I thought that Gina was a terrible actress, and I'm very okay with not having to watch her awkwardly read her lines. Like, that sounds great. But I do kind of like the character, and I do think it's unfortunate because I've seen some people on Twitter talking about how, like, it was good to have, like, a strong female protagonist that wasn't sexualized and was just as strong and capable as the male characters. Like, you know, she was never a damsel in distress. She was, she's a badass and a woman. And I think that that is, like, important to have. And I hope that they can maybe replace her with somebody else. What do you think? Would you prefer they recast the character, or would you prefer that they just, like, make the character
well,
go away?
At this point, it seems so perfect to just make the character go away, because they haven't started this new show, and the Mandalorian's team-up show has reached a logical conclusion. They could very easily just never have her back.
I agree.
They could just say she's off to do whatever space police business she's doing if they ever have to mention her, and then just never have her on again. Problem solved. Mm-hmm. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's the way that they left things off in The Mandalorian is really perfect. Like, you can just have her not show up again, and it doesn't even feel weird. You know, she's off doing her own thing. She's a marshal or whatever on Navarro, and that's that. And who gives a shit? Shut up.
Basically, like, yeah.
Or if they wanted to recast, I would be okay with that personally. They don't have to. I'm really good either way. I don't really care that much. I do hope that they, like, they introduce somebody to, like, fill the void that her character would have left. Like, I don't know what their plans are with this Rangers show. I don't know anything about what the fuck that show is going to be anyway. So, I hope that they can make that work. I have faith that they will. But, I'm good with this. I don't give a shit. Like, you know, bye, lady. You know, good job completely destroying your career. Like, woohoo, you really stuck it to the libs. Like, I'm sorry. It's like, what are we doing?
Getting fired
like,
from
I don't
Star
even
Wars,
understand.
Apparently.
Yeah, I guess.
For what it's worth, I would have liked to stay employed by Star Wars. That sounds like a dope
thing. Mean, yeah. Actually, if Disney is looking for a new Cara Dune, I would happily take her place.
I was just gonna say.
Nothing like her at all, but I will happily step in. And you know what? I'll say that I bet I would be a better actor than she was.
I think I'd like to do the Stephen Colbert thing where they just stick you in for a totally innocuous part into the movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'd like to do that.
That would also be
like,
okay.
Somewhere I can still see my face and point it out, you know, but like, you know, I could be like the guy that takes somebody's coat or something.
Yeah, if anybody wants to, like, you know, throw us a bone in regards to being extras on any Star Wars property, like, I'm so fucking down. I don't care what it is. You know, I could be in the next season of... I'm trying to think of any show that I wouldn't want to be a part of, but that doesn't exist. Like, I don't care. I'll be in the Jar Jar spinoff if you want. Like, whatever. Like, sounds great.
I'll be, like, the bartender in the Star Wars porn spinoff if you want.
I'll take that, too. That's fine. Be weird, but whatever. Our next piece of news, ironically, came out the same day that Gina Carano got fired, which I just find hilarious. And that is that Pedro Pascal has officially been cast as Joel in the Last of Us TV show that HBO is making. And along with, well, okay, let's talk about that first. So, Steve, do you think that Pedro Pascal can pull off an older, gruff badass who falls in love with a young child that he takes care of on his ongoing adventures, traveling across a vast distance? Do you think he could pull that off?
Two things. One, I'm not crazy about how the way you said fall in love. I'm going to need you to change the verbiage.
Well, oh, yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Learns to love like a father loves a child.
Fall in platonic love.
Okay, that's not any better. But anyway. And number two.
How is that not any better?
And number two, before we dive into that, I would like to address Pedro Pascal individually, separate of this of the show. I think what we have right now is a Zach Galifianakis problem. Which I suppose should really be, because he's like, you know, not... this probably should be more referred to as like the Jimmy Stewart problem or the Molly Ringwald problem or something. But the person that was popular in a thing and then gets put in everything for a while going forward in short bursts and then we never hear from them again. That's what we're doing with him right now, I think. Because when was the last time you saw fucking Zach Galifianakis in something?
I think the last thing I can think of that Zach Galifianakis was in was when he played I think he played Joker in Lego Batman. I think that's the only one I can currently
I didn't
think
even
of.
Know that was him. I went like I in a movie you can see, but okay.
Oh yeah. I don't know.
Right, he burns bright for a couple of movies and then disappears into obscurity. That's what's going to happen to our friend Mr. Pascal here.
So I do not agree with you at all, purely because, I mean, Zach Galifianakis is a comedian, and he's kind of a one-trick pony, if you ask me. Like, he's funny, don't get me wrong. I think he's good at what he does, but he basically only does one thing. I do not believe that to be the case with my man, Pedro Pascal.
I don't think that's the problem. I think that Mr. Pascal is going to fall victim to the seeing your face too many times problem, which is what I was actually addressing. Was the you're in so many movies?
I don't
okay,
agree.
Well,
I
I'm
just think...
glad that you like him. Never mind then. I guess I was just trying to make that point, but I guess you don't agree.
It's fine. Hey, man. No. It's okay. You and I don't have to agree on this. I get where you're coming from, and I hope that he doesn't. I really, really hope that. But he's not even been in that many.
Well, not
things.
Yet. He hasn't.
He's only
but
been
give
in
it
like
time.
What? Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's fair. You know, cautious. Be cautious about it. That's fine. But are you interested at all in this Last of Us TV show? Are you going
to
watch it?
I mean, I want to be because I like The Last of Us, but I have no interest in either of the people they've cast to play these characters because the people that I imagine to be Joel and Ellie are Joel and Ellie. Like,
yeah.
I can't separate those two people from the characters. So I'm not going to be able to project onto these new people, really? Especially since I had to Google who that little girl was. Like, apparently she was in Game of Thrones, and I was like, never heard of you. And I can't imagine her as...
Really?
I can't imagine her as Ellie at all. And I can't imagine anybody as Joel Joel, so...
I hadn't gotten there yet, but we could just talk about that. So Bella Ramsey is her name. I did not know her name. But she's best known for playing Lyanna Mormont in Game of Thrones.
Whoever the fuck that is.
I thought she stole the show in Game of Thrones. I thought she was really, really
good. Which of the 10,000 characters was she again?
Oh my god. She was the she was like the badass little girl who was constantly talking constantly talking smack to Jon Snow. She was like, she got killed, I think, in the last, in like the second to last episode or something. Or no, she got killed at the Battle of Winterfell, I believe. Which I don't know.
I legitimately do not remember anything that you're talking about. I don't think, none of those things happened.
I mean, the last like three seasons of Game of Thrones kind of like are this weird blur in my memory, but the one thing that I actually do remember was her. I really, really do remember Lyanna Mormont. The second that I read that Lyanna Mormont got cast as Ellie, I was like, oh, okay, I could kind of see that, I guess. I don't think her face is perfect for Ellie. That's like a small criticism, but it does bother me a little bit. But she's a great actress. I thought she really did a really good job in Game of Thrones. And so I'm hopeful. I think the show is going to be really good. I really do.
Yeah, I can't do it. I know it's a me problem and not a problem with the show necessarily. Like, that's not the show's fault that it's not the exact two people that I imagined to be the characters, but it is going to affect my watching of it, certainly.
I try to live in this weird reality where I try really hard not to focus too much on having one face associated with a character.
Yeah, I can't not do that because that's the only way I recognize characters, so.
Oh,
yeah,
because really?
That whatever you just said, gobbledygook okay. there with the person's name, I immediately forgot it as soon as you said it, because that's a goofy fucking fantasy name, like you're always telling me about these magic names that I'm telling you. None of that clicks.
Okay,
none of
that
sticks
fair.
In my brain.
I
understand. So.
That's okay. Lyanna Mormont. The only reason I understand that is like Mormont is she is like the great niece or something of Jorah Mormont, who was with Daenerys in Game of Thrones. And I know Lyanna because Lyanna is the mother of almost all the characters. She was Ned Stark's wife. Or no, sister.
Yeah,
what
all that spider web and shit you just said, that was just a fucking harpy scream. That was white noise. None of that made any sense. Doesn't matter.
Man, what is with...
There's 11 and a half billion characters in Game of Thrones. I can't be expected to remember all of them. And I don't even try.
Well, no, and I certainly don't remember all of them. I certainly don't remember
all of them. So this little girl did not stick with me, I guess. Because she wasn't Jon Snow, so I guess I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, fine. She wasn't, like, a huge part of the show or anything. She was, like, a amusing supporting character, and she got a few, like, really good moments here and there.
Let me be clear, I'm not disparaging this person's acting abilities based on the fact I don't remember them. I'm just saying, I don't remember them.
That's fair. That's totally fair. Absolutely 100%. But... I'm not gonna criticize this show until I've seen it. I like both of the actors they've cast, and I'm feeling good. I think it's gonna be good. And this is coming from somebody who doesn't even really like The Last of Us that much. The Last of Us is so overhyped, and I do not understand
really
why
good.
People love it so much.
Last of Us 1.
It's not
Last
that
of
good.
Us,
it's
Last of Us 1
fine.
Was really good.
It's so cliche. It's so predictable. Like, there's nothing that happens that you can't see coming from 10 miles away. It's boring.
Well, I would disagree, but okay.
It's just not my thing. I think it's just post-apocalyptic stories are not really my jam, because I just find them... It's like, I want to see the story of how the apocalypse happened. Now that it's already happened, I feel like the story's already over. Does that make sense? That's not always true, but I feel like that's often true.
I mean, that
like
is certainly... Like the Walking Dead. Okay, Walking Dead especially, Jesus Christ. But, like, you're definitely right about that a bit, but this is a different story. The world has more than one story to tell.
That's fair. And I don't think that it's bad. I don't think that The Last of Us is bad. I just think that it's not nearly as good as people think it is. And I will die on that hill.
That's fine. We can all agree that Last of Us 2 sucks dick. We can all agree that as a people.
I still haven't played it. I still haven't played Last of Us 2.
It misses every belt going forward.
And I just have not bothered to even.
It fumbles every pass it was thrown. It can't do a single thing right. Just awful. Just bad. Garbage game. 2 out of 10 for the fun. But it doesn't go 1 out of 10 because it technically functions.
The only experience I have with The Last of Us 2 is what you've told me, and there are some people on Twitter that I've seen who think it's the greatest game ever made.
Well, those people are shills, and you shouldn't take their opinions very seriously. You should take my opinion very seriously, Steve, because I am unbiased in my hatred.
I'm about to say, Steve, like, you know, by that logic, I'm a shill.
Well, you are a
shill.
You are absolutely a shill.
I would love to be a shill. I'm not a shill! I'm not paid. Or wait, what makes somebody a shill? That's what I want to know. Is it just like a fanboy, somebody who always loves everything?
I think the looser definition is somebody who will adamantly go to bat for something even when it's stupid and they shouldn't.
I mean, I
don't know if you have to necessarily
be paid,
but it probably helps.
I think that there's too much negativity in the world, and I think people should stop being such dicks about things that don't actually matter. They're stories, and stories.
Well, that's certainly
it's
fair.
Okay if they're
that's
not always
fair.
Perfect. Okay. Well, whatever.
Right, I promise not to tell you why it sucks.
You know what?
Anymore.
I think it. All right. Well, I do think that I'm gonna try playing The Last of Us 2 later today if I can get it to download.
All right.
Because I do
I encourage
it,
you to do that. So when you come back to me next week, you can tell me why I was right.
I would love to come back to you next week, and it won't be next week. There's no way I'm going to play
Try harder.
That fast. I have other shit going on. Too bad. But I would love it if I came back to talk about it with you, and I loved it, and I thought it was so much better than the first one. I think that would be amazing.
I will happily dismantle any point you make about it, because you will clearly be chemically impaired or insane at that point. Because you'd be axiomatically wrong.
Okay.
You'd be factually, spiritually,
we'll
and
see.
Physically wrong.
Okay. I mean, I can't say whether or not I agree with you yet, because I haven't played it.
Well, you can.
It.
I'm very wise.
Anywho, that's...
You can just take my word for it. I wouldn't steer you wrong.
I don't believe
okay,
that.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, Justice League, the Snyder Cutter. I guess it's Zack Snyder's League is the official title.
I love that.
Zack Snyder's Justice League has gotten a second trailer, but we did get our first look at Jared Leto's updated Joker. And Steve, I'm concerned. I'm concerned for myself. I'm concerned for my sanity and my long-term emotional well-being, because I am excited to watch Zack Snyder's next DC film. And that's fucking terrifying, Steve. I don't want to be excited for that. Are you fucking kidding me? I have been burned, like, 3 times? Or, well, I don't know. I've been burned so many times by DC in general, but especially by Zack Snyder. And what is this feeling that I'm feeling right now? Are you in any way interested? What do you think of at least of his Jared Leto's look?
Oh, are we talking about Joker or the movie right now?
All right, let's talk about... We've talked about the movie before, so let's talk about the Joker specifically.
Oh, okay. Oh, I think he looks ridiculous, if I'm being honest. Oh, yeah.
Really? I mean, I think he... See, my expectations are so low that it's like, wait, he doesn't have grills and he doesn't have damage tattooed on his forehead?
He looks a lot less stupid than the other one did. I'll grant you that. But, like, the clown face makeup thingy is so big and red and smeary. Like, I know they were going for, like a Dark Knight Rises thing, but they overshot.
Yeah, I think so.
They went too far. Like, instead of, like, a single line to form a smile, he looked like he took his entire hand and just wiped it from, cheek to cheek. It's too much big red smile face. I think this overshot.
See, I kind of like it. So, because the whole point of this version of the character is that this is, like, in this post-apocalyptic alternate
future. No, I get it, but...
Where Darkseid
won. I get it.
And I like that he looks all weird and fucked up, and it's like he... seems almost like he doesn't have a mirror, so he just slimed a bunch of red on his face because, you know, he's right, the Joker. Sure. And again, he doesn't have damage tattooed to his fucking forehead.
I mean, that's
Steve.
An improvement, I guess.
That is awesome.
I'm going to be honest, like, I actually never made it to his forehead. I was too busy looking at his big fucking Ronald McDonald smile.
Yeah, all right.
100% honest. I forgot that there were face tattoos because I never made it that far up his head.
That's amazing, if that's true. But I'm interested in his take on the character. I said way back when that I thought that Jared Leto had the potential to play a good Joker, but he needed to be in the right, have the right script with the right director. I said that ages ago, and I still believe that. I don't think Zack Snyder is that person. like, not at all. I don't think Zack Snyder is ever the right director for anything. Like, maybe a short film. That's about all I've got. Like, I'm sorry. Like, okay. I have, like, respect for Zack Snyder as a person. Like, he seems like a very nice guy. And I have all the sympathy for what happened, you know, for his daughter's situation. And, like, I... Nothing but respect for Zack Snyder as a human being. However... I don't think he's good at making movies. I think that he has no idea how to, like, make a complete and, like, satisfying story or, like, character arc. The only thing I feel like he cares about is having the shot look really pretty. That's an important part
so
of filmmaking, but it's not the only part.
Then, instead of a...
Yeah, he should be a photographer slash cinematographer, and that's what he should do. Or, like, a producer. He should be involved. I think he has an interesting voice and take on things, but when he's the only voice, it doesn't work. Like it just falls apart completely because he doesn't know how to tell a story. But anyway, I am still somehow excited for this movie. And I'm not even expecting it to be good. That's not what I'm thinking, but I still really, really want to know what Snyder's idea was for the end of this weird bizarro trilogy. Like, I don't understand my feelings right now. I'm being pulled in two different directions at once. Also, oh my god, when Jared Leto's first line in the trailer was, "We live in a society."
Yeah, I picked up on that too.
Did they intentionally meme their movie? Is that something they were going for?
I'm gonna assume, yes.
Should I be excited
no.
by this? Should I
no,
laugh
No, you shouldn't
at
be
it?
Excited
should
by
I,
that.
Should I be like, oh man, they went for it. This is amazing. Or should I think it's stupid? Think it's stupid? I mean, it is stupid. But do I like it anyway?
Well,
I don't know
okay,
anymore.
Well, you sound very torn. I don't know how to tell you how to feel, but I'll tell you how I feel. I think you
okay,
should
sure,
never, ever meme your own movies. I think that a callback like that kind of thing is only good if the line was good. And even then, the second time around, it really has to be an awesome line because it will depreciate every time you say it. So that second time you say it, best case scenario, is just not bad. You know? Like, the one exception to that being in fucking Endgame when fucking Captain America says Avengers Assemble, that gave me a rock hard cock, but... You know, that was like after like 15
oh,
movies
man,
of buildup.
Awesome.
So that's there was some investment on that
yes.
one. But this is just like a random throwaway
yes,
line that people have clung on to from a, in my opinion, a pretty subpar movie. So like, I don't feel like it really merits the excitement they were probably hoping it would get. I feel like it's actually just a dumb callback to a previous movie and you should probably just feel it's stupid like I do.
See, I don't even really care about it being in a... That was in The Dark Knight, right? That's what that was
I'm
from?
I'm pretty sure that's from the Joker movie.
Oh, is it from the Joker movie? I don't even know anymore. Whatever. Oh, God, the Joker movie. I could spend forever trying to figure out my thoughts on the Joker film, but that's not a conversation I want to go down. But anyway... I kind of like it just because I feel like they're not really doing a callback to a movie. I feel like they're deliberately, like, doing a call out to the
memers.
Well,
that's even worse.
Which,
that's
again,
100% worse.
The only reason the Snyder Cut exists is because of people on the internet who refuse to let it go. So, like, if you're gonna do it, I feel like now is the time to do it. You know what I mean?
No,
like, does
no,
that make
I disagree.
Sense?
But I understand what you're saying, but I don't agree.
Okay.
So,
that's, I mean,
putting,
that's fair.
Okay,
but
hang on. I want to derail for a second. Well, I want to sidetrack for a second. So, all assuming right. that this movie comes out, right? And it's all awesome, and or not even that it's awesome. It comes out, and people go and see it. Do you think this will be good, and it'll satisfy people, and they'll go like, yes, vindication. I knew the Snyder Cut was what I actually wanted the whole time. Or do you think that this will be bad, and then that will just disillusion everybody even further, because it's like, the thing you wanted turned out to just be bad, too. Like, the hope you had to make the movie good also turned out to be bad. Like, how do you recover from that?
So, here's what I would say. And, so the people, the Snyder Cut people, the people who are on, like, the subreddit, the DC Cinematic subreddit and stuff like that, they live in an alternate reality where Zack Snyder is some kind of godlike figure, and Batman v Superman Ultimate Cut is the greatest film ever made. That is objectively not true. Like, there is no universe in which Batman v Superman was a well-crafted film. The Ultimate Cut makes it a little bit better, but not, it doesn't fix its fundamental issues. But so what I'm saying here is that the crazy people who love the who wanted the Snyder Cut so bad, they're gonna love it no matter how bad
okay.
it is.
I guess that answers my question of, you know, like, I mean? If this came out, if, you know, since the previous director's cut release thingy was better, like, it was better, like, factually better, it just, you know, wasn't perfect. But, like, if this comes out and is, like,
exactly.
1%
yeah.
better, is that justification? Is that vindication for those people? Like, are they going to feel fulfilled that they got it then?
I would say yes. And the other thing is, I really, really believe that no matter what this movie is like, I do think it's going to be better than the original Justice League. There's no way that it's going to be worse than that, because the original Justice League was a Frankenstein's monster of two different directors' visions that completely didn't mesh at all. And so they just released this, like, horrible abomination that, like, I watched and then immediately forgot because there was nothing of substance in it whatsoever.
Fair.
So I think that there is no chance in hell that this is worse than the original Justice League. Because it's one person making one mm-hmm. movie, you know? Like, at least it is one man's vision and he's making what he wants to make.
I get that. Yeah, absolutely. No, there's yeah. no, not too many cooks in the kitchen, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah, because the original one got fucked over so much by producers and Joss Whedon, who's a fucking asshole. We didn't talk about it, but Joss Whedon's an asshole. Now, there was some reports this week of further assholy things that Joss Whedon did, and I don't want to go into that, but the original one just was so fucked, and there was no chance in hell that it was ever, ever going to be good. The fact that it was watchable is a testament to, actually, I don't even know whose ability. The fact that it was watchable is shocking. I don't understand how that even happened. But this movie, I think, is still going to be better. And I'm very excited
so, well,
to watch it. And
so in going future, then, will this become the new Justice hours. League? Like, is this the official Justice League, then, going forward?
I would say so. Okay. So, okay, that's another thing, is we have to get past... When it comes to DC, both of us, but especially you have to get over this idea that there is an official anything. Nothing's official. That's not how WB is
approaching. Okay, no, but you're not hearing me, though. Like, if someone was to say, I want to watch all of the DC movies in a row, this is the one they watch in place of Justice League.
I would
say
so.
Okay, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah. Okay. But again, you're too caught up on continuity, because DC doesn't work with continuity. Continuity, just throw that out the window. Don't worry about any of that.
There has to be a definitive winner. There has to be a Justice League movie to fill the slot of Justice League.
No, there
does
not have to be. That's not true.
You can't have two movies with essentially the same things happening in them and call them equally valid. You can't do that.
You can't. Because that's what they're totally gonna do. It's just a different version.
No, that's ridiculous. Yeah. One of these things has to be the definitive edition.
If there has to... Okay, fine. If there has to be a definitive one, then yes, it's the Snyder version.
Okay, that's all I'm asking.
But, like, you're shooting yourself in the foot here, because that's not how DC thinks of these things. So you're just going to be angrier and angrier as time goes on, because maybe they'll reference something that happened in the original version that didn't happen.
That brings up an interesting point.
What?
If they make this... So the Snyder Cut comes out, and shit happens in it differently than it does in the other one. Is the other one...
Which is
right,
already...
Right, so does that mean that the Snyder one is an entirely separate bubble movie? Like, do the events of this movie not matter at all? Then what the fuck are we making this thing for?
See, this is why we're having this conversation, Steve.
Now I get it.
Because fans want it.
Now I get
it. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's like... I think that... I remember reading a report, like, a month or two ago that was talking about how the WB executives considered Zack Snyder's Justice League to be like they called it a cinematic cul-de-sac, which I think is a stupid as hell metaphor.
Not good.
Yeah, so it's just like, it's a dead end. They're just going to tell this story because there are crazy fans online who really, really want to see it. And we're going to throw those guys a bone, but it's like some kind of weird, bizarro, alternate dimension version of this movie that doesn't matter at all and doesn't affect anything else. Like, each movie is its own bubble universe. Like, do not worry about continuity that doesn't exist anymore.
I just can't.
Because
I
we're
can't
DC
wrap my,
and
I can't wrap
you.
My noodle around that. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry that you... are going to
like,
have
like
a hard time.
Stories have beginnings
DC
and
movies.
Ends. I can't do that. I can't just no. That doesn't work.
Yes, you're
that
right.
Doesn't
stories
work.
Do have a beginning and end, and the story begins and ends with each film.
Oh god.
Film.
Okay. Ugh. That just feels dirty.
Yeah,
I don't know.
This is where we are. This is where we are.
But you can understand why I'm confused, right? Like There's a Justice League movie,
absolutely.
And there's a different Justice League movie, but one of those movies, despite having similar things happen and all the same people in it, doesn't matter at all.
Uh-huh.
Like, that shouldn't happen.
It doesn't.
I'm so scared and
don't
confused.
Don't think about it, Steve. you're too focused. I think the MCU has, like, fucked with our heads in that we think that there's like a canon and
yeah
that
cohesive
story
storytelling yeah
other.
Sure, I could see how that'd be a problem.
Cohesive storytelling, yeah, that we don't get that anymore, Steve. Cohesive storytelling is out the window, and we're just going to tell one story at a time.
Okay. All right.
If we really want to, we'll reference some things that happened in previous movies, but we don't have to if we don't want to, because
but
fuck
how
you,
I know which movies are okay to reference if none of them, if I'm not even 100% sure which ones are real.
You don't know,
I don't like
Steve.
That.
Every movie can and cannot be referenced at
God.
The same time. It is Schrodinger's canon.
Oh, God, I don't like it.
I can't say that. Schrodinger's canon.
That's so unsettling. I don't like it.
Yep.
I don't like
Here
it
we
at
are.
All.
Woohoo!
Okay.
Our next piece of news is that, don't worry, we're going to go back to things where stories make sense, okay?
Okay.
Everything's going to be fine. You know. So Tom Holland has denied rumors that Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire are going to be in Spider-Man 3. He said something to the effect of, if this is happening, then they're keeping it a secret from me, and I don't know how they could possibly be doing that, so, Bob, so I don't think this is happening. I firmly believe that he is lying. I think he is just fucking with us because Marvel has done that before. Marvel has lied several times before when they don't want to give away a story. And that's fine. I'm not mad at them for lying because I would prefer not to have spoilers, generally speaking. Except for in this particular case because I want Spider-Man! I want Spider-Verse live action. I want it. I need it. I refuse to let you take it away from me. I will hold on to that until my dying breath. Give me live action Spider-Verse.
All right.
I refuse.
All right, so...
Anyway.
I mean, I thought it was stupid. Like, I thought, no way that's going to happen. But now that you told me, well, okay, when you told me it was going to happen, I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to let this insanity into my life. And now I feel like if I don't have it, I'll just be disappointed. Like, because it was so dumb,
yep.
You know, that, like, I feel like by letting it in, I have accepted a certain level of expectations for stupid. And I feel like if we get to, like, a normal Spider-Man movie where there isn't three different aged, different looking, different lifestyle Spider-Men in it, I feel like it's just not going to be the same. No matter what they do, it's not going to be the movie without the three Spider-Men. Or it is going to be the movie without the three Spider-Men.
Steve, it's so refreshing. It's so refreshing when you and I are on the same page about something, because abso-fucking-lutely, like, it doesn't matter what they do. They could whip out the Sinister Six. They could introduce all kinds of crazy shit. But if they don't give me three Spider-Men at the same time, I'm gonna hate it. I just will. This is a fact. Like I need it in my life. You cannot take it away from me after you gave it to me. You can't.
Yeah, you can't, no. Can't undo it.
Shh. And also, like, we do know for sure that, like, Jamie Foxx is in this movie. We know that. He's playing Electro. We know that Alfred Molina is back and that he's playing Dr. Octopus. Like, that's fact. And then there are rumors that a bunch of other people are in the movie, but whatever. If you're already going to be bringing in Spider-Man villains from the other universes, you have to bring in the Spider-Man along with them. You can't not. What's wrong with you? Like, no.
I mean,
Tom Holland. You almost fooled me, but you didn't.
Now, this might just be that thing that they're doing where they're just taking the parts of Spider-Man movies that other people liked, although I didn't like Electro, and they'll be like, okay, we'll just use those for our new continuity. Like fucking Jameson, you know? They just recast the same guy as Jameson again.
Well,
so
okay.
They could just be doing that and being like, you know what would be cool? Let's just hire people who have already played these characters to play them again. Now, that being said, I would
like
much prefer that that wasn't the
opportunity.
Case. But
I suppose you're right. I suppose they could have Alfred Molina and Jamie Foxx playing completely different versions of the characters. And that's just meant to be like a clever little wink at the old continuities, I guess.
See, now I'm just saying that could happen. I don't want that to happen, nor do I even think that is what's happening, because I feel like all that does is confuse people. Now, Jameson, you have to have the same guy playing because he's perfect in every way for it, so anybody else wouldn't be as good. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to have anybody else play that part. But you could have somebody else be Doc Ock or Electro, and this conscious decision to pick the same people to do it again and not have their accompanying Spider-Men seems very bizarre, if indeed that's what they're doing.
I completely agree. I don't believe it. I just don't. I don't believe it. I think that Tom Holland is lying through his teeth, and, you know, good job, good attempt, but no. I refuse to accept what he said.
Although
no.
It'd be very odd if they did, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, it'd be very strange if they did bring over Doc Ock and Electro with their accompanying Spider-Man, because Doc Ock was only Doc Ock for one movie and then he died. So where exactly did that movie take place that they pulled them?
Are they going to like jump into like the time? Oh, that's a good question. Are they going to like fuck with timelines and shit?
Like go over to his fight with Doc Ock?
Like, yeah. Like, can they do that?
If Dragon Ball Xenoverse can do it, they can do it.
I feel like that'd be really hard to do with especially Toby, because he's so much older now.
Well, he'll be wearing the costume,
it
won't matter.
Yeah, I want Toby to join in. I want him to come to be a part of the main universe or whatever, and I want him to take his mask off.
Okay, I was gonna say they could definitely do the Spider-Verse thing where nobody else takes their masks off.
No, that's not good enough as far as I'm concerned. I want to see all three of them with their masks off on screen at the same time. That is the bare minimum of my expectations for this film. I will love it. I will love this movie if I see all three of them, no masks, same time, same screen.
Okay. Fair enough. It's going to be really hard for Peter Parker to play a teenager now. Or Tobey Maguire, I mean. Like, he was already kind of pushing one of those weird TV schools 50? Where everybody's 30 in high school, but it's going to be really hard to pretend he's like 18 now.
Yeah, I really hope that they make him like a much older Parker. That's what I want. I want to have grizzled older Parker, like traumatized or grizzled older McGuire, traumatized fucking Garfield, and then the young punk Holland. That's what I want. I want all three of them that are all Spider-Man, but they all have their own unique like things, like personalities and things that they do and like traumas that they've experienced.
Sometimes I let a match burn down in my fingers just to feel something.
Yeah, but I want that, but for Andrew Garfield, you know, because Emma Stone died, she or sure whatever did. Or Spider-Gwen,
just Gwen died,
not Spider-Gwen, but just Gwen. Gwen died, so I want him to be all edgy, and I want, anyway, I don't want to talk anymore about this, but that's what I want. Give it to me. Give me what I want. All right. So Kevin Feige is reportedly against Black Widow being released on Disney Plus. He's apparently insisting that it be released theatrically, like, and have that be like the main thing. He's even against like some kind of weird HBO Max style dual release, like put it out in theaters and on HBO Max at the same time. I think that's the best case scenario here. I think that is what they should do. I'm tired of waiting for this fucking movie. I don't even think it's gonna even be that good. I think it'll be pretty good at best. And I'm tired of it being hyped up, and I don't want to wait any longer. I'm bored. What do you think, Steve?
Well, I'm thinking that he just wants it to be a big deal. He wants it to be theatrical because he wants to, you know, see it up on the big screen, because seeing it at somebody's home really does diminish a movie as far as, like, presentation goes, you know? I think that's the true thought process here, so they want it to be, like, undeniable. Grand, you know, when it finally comes out, they want it to be a big deal, but, like, logistically not likely these days. B, it's a Black Widow movie. Who gives a shit? And C, it's been so long. Don't you want to just get this thing out there and start making money? Like, Christ, dude.
Yeah, like, they've been sitting on this movie for, like, the movie has been done and finished and ready to be released for over a year. Like, guys, at a certain point, you just have to cut your losses and release it. Like, I would like more MCU content, please. Like, I don't want to wait until the end of the pandemic, because I don't know when the fuck that's going to be, to start getting new movies. Like, I like WandaVision. I'm going to watch Falcon and Winter Soldier, but I want to see the movies, too. I want to see Black Widow, because I want to be done with Black Widow. And I'm sorry. But god damn, like, I really think they should just release it on Disney Plus at this point.
I mean, yeah.
And preferably not with the premium access. I would not like to pay that again. I will pay it if they insist on it.
What do you mean, pay it again?
I told you, I paid for the fucking
Mulan.
Oh,
yeah,
insisted
on
it.
That's right.
Because my dad's
insane. I forgot,
insane.
Shame on you.
Also, that movie is fucking trash, and it gets worse every time I think about it. Fuck the live action Mulan.
I like Mulan. That's a shame.
That's yeah. I also like Mulan. I don't watch the live action one. It's really, if you're hankering for some Mulan, you watch
Let's
the animated version, and that's
business.
It.
Sorry.
Yes. Anyway. I really hope that they release Black Widow on Disney Plus, because I'm tired.
That's fair enough.
CW is going to be making a live action Powerpuff Girls television show. I know.
Go on. It gets better.
It gets better. It gets better. And they're going to make the characters 20 somethings who resent their superhero childhood.
Jesus, titty fucking Christ.
And that sounds like such a CW show. Like, I can see it in my head. Like, I'm like, okay, so they're all going to be like, you know, 20 something. They all look like models. Like, even the background characters, like, every one of them is super, like, you know, sexy or whatever. And they're all going to spend a lot of time being angsty and sad because they can't afford to have action scenes. So they're just going to drown us in fucking, like, you know, garbage level CW drama all the time. Every episode is just going to be an endless amount of garbage that they that we are forced to watch. And I don't want to watch this, but I think it's fucking hilarious.
So I know that Steve, they made a reboot Powerpuff Girls cartoon. I know that they made one of those, and to my knowledge, it failed. I don't know, because why would I have watched the Powerpuff Girls cartoon?
As well.
But
I have
I imagine it didn't do. I have not seen the new one. I'm gonna Google it. I'm just gonna look it up because I imagine that it didn't do very well. I could be wrong, and I would be shocked to find that the Powerpuff Girls lasted more than two seasons. But the point I'm trying to make is that they already tried redoing Powerpuff Girls one time, and it was closer to the actual, like, you know, source material, I guess, for lack of a better word. And that didn't do well. So,
is there a source material?
Yeah, it's the Powerpuff Girls the first time.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Right. Yeah, obviously. I thought that there was something besides the original show. Like, there was, like, a book or something. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't know that, but...
okay, well, it looks like it lasted three seasons, and it's reviewed terribly.
Oh, okay. So, that sounds...
That's not shocking.
Right. Three seasons is more than I was
expecting. It's more than I was expecting, honestly. Too, but I imagine they probably got, like, a three-season contract or something right out of the gate, because it was a legacy show.
Yeah,
but... Maybe. Who cares? Because this sounds ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm so not interested in this show. Do you think that they're gonna have the creepy, like, fucking alien eyes or whatever? Like,
no,
are they
I
just gonna
suspect
be a bunch
they'll look
of, like
regular
big-eyed
people
midgets?
With hands and everything.
Like, oh man, that's lame. I can't. I tried watching Flash again not too long ago, and I made it through, like, five episodes before, like, I started going cross-eyed.
Nice.
So, like, I just can't do CW shit anymore. It's just so, so tedious
horrible.
Oh, my God. Also, the premise of this sounds eerily similar to the premise of Titans, because Titans also has a bunch of 20-something superheroes who resent their superhero
childhood. Yeah, I think what the world is going for here is the people who watched those shows as wide-eyed, bright-eyed children have now grown up into, you know, frustrated adults, and they want to reflect that with their characters. They want to take those children and make them terrible people as adults and go, yeah, look, see, the characters you liked as kids grew up to be just like you. Isn't that relatable? Don't you want to watch this for nostalgia, but also still identify with the characters because they're no longer children and they hate the world just like you, and they also have to pay bills and, you know, have, like, very congruent shits and stuff, you know, like adults do? You know, that kind of shit. I think that's what they're going for loosely. But, okay, so fucking Netflix has been telling me, and the internet's been telling me that Netflix has been telling me that there's, like, a Winx Club live action thing on here. Are you familiar with the Winx Club?
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I don't know anything about it, but it appears to be a cartoon about fairy girls. And this is, like, some kind of, like, live action version of that, except they're, like, older and I guess it's grittier or something, probably. It's the same vein, I imagine. They're like, hey, let's take a children's cartoon and put real people in it and see if adults want to watch it. Or at least jaded teenagers or something.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's what they're trying to do. And, like, I get why. From a CEO perspective, it's like, oh, we have to capitalize on this untapped market.
Right,
like,
yeah.
If
you're a calculating robot slithering snake monster with tentacles, yes, you would definitely think that these are things that would pan out for you. But in the real world, nobody cares about the 20... There was a Mad TV... Mad, comma... TV show, not Mad TV. Mad the magazine turned into a TV show. It's confusing.
Oh,
Mad the cartoon show about a Powerpuff Girls as adults, and they were like, fucking, like, you know, smoking and drinking and shit. And it was meant to be a one-off goof, and that's what this entire show is supposed to be, I think. And I don't think anybody's gonna want to watch that.
I think you're right. Oh. I guarantee that at least one of the Powerpuff Girls is an alcoholic.
It's Buttercup, for sure. Like, it's Buttercup,
that
for sure.
Has to be the case. It's definitely Buttercup. Yeah, it's
ooh,
it's
you want to speculate
Buttercup.
About what the,
thing
what
that's
the people
sad,
are up to as adults? You want to, like, take a crack at that?
Okay, all right. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say... I'm trying to remember all
it's
their
Blossom,
names.
Blossom, Bubbles,
I
and Buttercup.
I mix up their names, which... Bubbles is the bubbly one, right?
Accurate, yes.
Okay. So Blossom is the main one, the most.
She is the leader, yes.
Right? She's the leader. Okay, so I'm thinking that she is a lawyer, or maybe she's like still a superhero. I'm not sure about that one. I don't think she will be still
okay.
Be a superhero.
I'm not going to comment. I'm going to wait for you to finish yours, and then I'm going to do mine.
And maybe a politician or like a mayor or something. Maybe an architect. You know, something super
cliche.
Those are
cliche. Very, very varied careers.
I mean, yeah. I'm going to go with lawyer. I'm thinking that she's a lawyer. What do you think
she's
doing?
No, you do all of yours, and then I'll do all of mine.
You want me to do all of them? All right. I think that Buttercup is an alcoholic, probably, you know, like a super badass, probably has at least one tattoo.
At least.
If not more, like maybe even an entire sleeve of tattoos. I'm not sure. She's probably having sex all the time, and she's played by like some dark-haired badass lady. I think, what else would she be doing? She's maybe has like maybe she's like a social worker or something, because she cares about people, but she's like a really bad social worker. And then Bubbles. Oh God. I'm thinking Bubbles is like, maybe still is either living with Blossom or still living with her dad. Because, you know, they have to capitalize on that untapped market of people who still live with their parents in their 20s. So that makes sense that they would do that. So, yeah, I think she's still living with her dad. And I'm guessing that she's maybe, like, working part-time at, like, a vet clinic or something. Or maybe she's, like, helping out at, like, a soup kitchen. Something really sweet and dumb. That's my thought.
Well, you what and I had think? Very similar trajectories on what those people were doing, I think. So my thought for Bubbles was probably marine biologist. Or
I can see that. Yeah.
Some person who stands out front of places with signs and pickets things as a career path.
Ooh,
one of those
one. Like
two things she's up to.
Yeah.
Blossom that's is perfect. Definitely some kind of lawyer or some kind of something with a suit. She wears a pantsuit, definitely. Definitely a pantsuit.
Yeah, something professional.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know what specifically she's doing, but it's something with authority, and she doesn't have time for any of that silly superhero business anymore because she's got important paperwork to do and whatnot. And then Buttercup is Jessica Jones.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah, that's basically what I was thinking is, yeah, Jessica Jones is perfect.
I think, if anything, she's vigilanteing, maybe. Like, do you remember, like, that fucking god-awful Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie where they were, like, weird CG or whatever, and Raph was the only one still doing turtle work?
I weirdly like that
movie. Well, anyway,
I don't know why I like that.
Raphael was the only one still doing Ninja Turtle things, and everybody else just kind of called it quits on being a hero.
Yeah.
That's what I imagine she's doing, except she, you know, wears a leather jacket with some green accents to it, obviously. She might have, like, a single strand of green hair.
I mean, she is.
And she's just gonna go punch people.
She is basically Raphael. Like, she's Raphael, the other Blossom is Leonardo, and fucking Bubbles is Mikey. Like, that's like, it's all the same fucking thing.
So that's what the Powerpuff Girls are up to. And then at some point, I mean, they're all still gonna like hang out a bit. Maybe Buttercup is a little more distant than the other two, but they're all still gonna be like, you know, closely knit family unit, and they're all gonna meet up at some point for, like, I don't know, girls catch up dinner or something. And then they're going to be like, oh, man, a fucking monster's attacking. It's been a long time since monsters attacked because, you know, like, fucking monsters from across the bay always came to town to fuck shit up. So, you know, one of those will come and they'll be like, or a fire or something will happen. Something in their near vicinity where they are required to take action and take up the superhero mantle again, even though they don't want to. And they're going to, you know, save people, and there's probably going to be something stupid like, hey, I don't want you superheroing anymore. And it's like, yeah, well, I don't really want a superhero anymore either, but I guess we'll do it. And they're going to get, like, Power Ranger costumes or something. No helmets,
colored onesies. I disagree a little bit here. So I'm thinking that they're not on good terms with each other. I think that they probably haven't spoken to each other in years. like maybe Blossom is still in connection with, or not, I'm sorry, not Blossom. Maybe Bubbles still talks to both of them, but I do not think
that Blossom and Buttercup had the falling out because they're so diametrically opposed.
Yeah, they had a big falling out.
Okay, I can see it.
Yeah, I think they had a huge falling out, and so they don't speak anymore. But I think that something is going to happen that'll be the catalyst for them all to have to get back together again. My first thought would be that the professor dies and that they all join together. I'm basically thinking of like Umbrella Academy. Like, professor dies and then they all have to go back and like figure out what happened.
Buttercup
and
absolutely
why he
wears
died
a leather jacket to that funeral.
And... Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And she's got tears in her jeans.
And then but I totally agree with you that I think that the more I think about it, Blossom. I think Blossom is going to be the one, like, is not going to want anything to do with being a superhero. I think that she's going to have a couple of, I don't think she's going to be a full superhero until, like, the second or third to last episode of the show, at least of the first season. And I think that she is going to, like, do occasional superheroic, like, actions, but only when she has to. And it's only near the end of the season that she's like, maybe I should just be a superhero again because, you
ooh,
know,
okay.
Or
I'm
maybe
take
she'll
it,
lose
I'm
her
take
job
it one step further
so
than
she
that.
Can no longer
I'm gonna,
do good as a
I'm
lawyer.
I'm going to take it one step further.
Oh, okay,
I'm going to say that Blossom is going to actively reject her superpowers and will go out of her way not to use them in day-to-day life so as far as to not live anything to do with superheroing. Like, there'll be like one position we're going
to
see in an early episode where
she
needs
to
like
normal.
Super strength something open, but you're going to see like some disgust on her face because that door was locked or something. You're going to see like a, ugh, I can't believe I had to do that instead of, you know, Buttercup who's just going to like headbutt the wall down or whatever. That's what I imagine we can look forward to.
Yeah.
Now we kind of have to watch the first episode of this show
to
see if we're right about any of this.
Oh, God. Why are we doing this to ourselves,
I don't know.
Steve? Yeah, I think I do kind
speculate
of want to watch
Zahoot.
At least the first episode. Fuck!
All right, cool.
I do not want to see this
awesome.
At all, but fine. I guess I'll...
Do you think they're going to get a new right, superhero
so
name instead
of
the Powerpuff Girls? Because nothing about that seems accurate to the story we've described.
No, So I do think that maybe their original superhero name is the Powerpuff Girls, but I think that, like, in the modern times or whatever, they're going to have a new... different, better superhero name, like the Power Punch Girls or something. I don't know.
The Rowdy Rough Boys. You think those guys are going to make a return?
Power Punch Women. Power Punch Women.
Sure.
Sure. How about that? The PPW.
Sure.
No, wait, that doesn't work because that's too close to BBW. That doesn't work at all. I'll think about.
Okay,
that.
You do that.
But I'm going to move on to our last piece of news, and that is that Jack Black has been cast as Claptrap in the Borderlands movie. And this is going to be a short one, but I love it. Steve, do you love it?
I don't
it?
Think Come I on. Like anything about this movie,
Come
so
on.
I don't think I'm going to go see it.
Really? You know? I mean, obviously it's a video game movie, so we all know it's going to be bad. Like, that's a given. But I think that Jack Black as Claptrap is kind of perfect. I think that sounds fun as hell. I'd watch that. I just love Jack Black.
Sure, everybody likes Jack Black. That's not the problem, though. I don't like what this movie represents, I guess. So I'm not really interested. And none of the casting is really excited.
What does this movie represent?
Well, okay, so Borderlands as a property to me has, like, you know, the goofy characters in it and shit, but it's always spaced out. And it's a long thing. There's a slow boil on the, or in between the goofs, you know?
I think you're right about that. That's why I've never been able to finish Borderlands. I've started the beginning of Borderlands.
Well, I think the reason you haven't been able to finish Borderlands is it's actually secretly boring as shit.
Yeah,
it's a shoot and loot, and those are boring as tits. The only thing that makes Borderlands even remotely interesting is the people. Like, the characters in the game is the only thing that could make that salvageable to you as a, you know, as a player. And that's cool and everything in the movie here, because then it cuts out all the boring shit. But, and this is going to sound weird, if you don't have the boring shit, then the quote-unquote exciting stuff becomes a lot less exciting. I need you to follow me on that path for a minute.
I guess that makes sense.
I think
I like Borderlands
characters. I think they're funny. But I'm worried that I only think that because the game is so dreadfully boring. and anything to separate the game.
You're just searching for anything to like.
I think it's more of like when that thing finally happens, I actually appreciate it more because it took so long to get there. And not in the way of like working towards a goal, but in the sense of like I have been in the desert so long that I will drink that motor oil because it represents a liquid. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Now, that's an extreme example, of course, but what I'm getting at is that I'm worried that the Borderlands formula will not work in a movie because it's actually not as funny as we think it is. It's just that we've trained ourselves to appreciate it more, if you catch what I'm saying.
Yeah, no.
Because Borderlands totally fucking sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Borderlands would be remembered nearly... I don't think anybody would give a shit about Borderlands if it wasn't for having a unique art style, mm-hmm. having unique characters, and having decent
gameplay. I love like, me some like fucking... whatever that guy that says explosions is. I don't even remember his name. Torque. I love me some Torque, but, you know, that's it. Like, I don't give a shit about the story of the world.
Me neither. But I still am... I think I'll probably watch the Borderlands movie. I've at least played Borderlands.
I mean, I'm sure you'll get the references like, and stuff, better than, but... Like... Who are the main
Honestly,
characters
probably,
this time?
I haven't been paying attention.
Is it, like, the guys from the first game?
No idea. I'm guessing.
Because they seem to show up in all of them these days, so...
I haven't played the newer Borderlands. I've played a decent chunk of Borderlands 1 and a slightly smaller chunk of Borderlands 2.
Well, those the player characters from the first game show up in all the other games too, just as NPCs instead of.
I did not know that.
They're the legacy characters. Right. They get to stick around.
That makes sense. All right. Well, I guess that's it for the news for the day. So now we're going to move on to the Magic Hour. Which is when you painfully drag me through the magic timeline. What I remember from last week is... I actually do remember a couple of the names. So, Elzar, right? That was one of the names? Right?
Azar. It's close.
The guy who got trapped... is it Azar? Azar, okay. So, Azar, he got trapped in his body with a necromancer... And then that whole body got trapped somewhere by his master guy, Sarmal. And Sarmal is a dick.
You wrote that down, I remember.
Because I wrote it down.
All right, yeah, that was actually pretty accurate. So I'm going to give you full credit for that.
Yeah, like I think I pretty much remember it. So that's,
all right, well, dope.
That's good. Because it's something I can understand. Like body possession.
Sure, yeah,
away,
yeah. That's all stuff that happens every day.
Whatever. That makes... I mean, it reminds me of Dresden.
Okay,
files,
well, whatever you
got
to do to make it stick in your head,
I
guess.
My head around.
All right.
Yeah.
Are you ready for the next one?
So. I'm ready.
All right.
Yes.
The year is 2954 AR. Joda unites Sheldor and Balduvia into new Argive. Marisil, possessing Jaya Ballard's destroyed Soldev and the School of the Unseen, using Phyrexian War Beasts and Soldevi Steam Beasts, Joda destroys Marisil, Jaya Ballard ascends, Jaya defeats the War and Steam Beasts.
Okay. What the fuck is a Steam Beast? That's what I want to
know.
I want to know. Is it like a flying thing? Is it like a robot? Is it... Come on. Do you not know? Like, that's fine if you don't know.
I legitimately have never heard of these before.
Really? Okay, then I won't ask that, then. I won't ask that.
Okay.
Good,
because I couldn't answer it anyway.
So...
I was going to try to quickly Google it, but I didn't make it.
All right. So... Oh, God. I'm trying to think of... There was... So...
There's a lot of stuff in old magic that I have never heard of.
So some dude united two countries into one new country, and it was like new something or other.
New Argive, yes.
A new Argive, okay. And then some other person like led two armies to take over another country? Am I close there, or what? Or plane, probably, not a country, but...
Marisil was the one possessing Jaya Ballard's body and leading an army.
Body.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, okay. Mare Syl was possessing Jaya Ballard's body.
Yes. And then Jaya Ballard ascends. Yes.
And then Jaya Ballard ascends. What does ascending mean? What is that?
That is the olden term for when a person becomes a planeswalker, because the rules for planeswalker becoming back then were a little different.
Oh, that's dumb. That's all it is? He just becomes a planeswalker? Okay, fuck.
I mean, it's a big deal.
Well, now I know. If anybody ever ascends, I will now know that that means that they become a planeswalker. Okay.
Yes.
Fine, I guess. All right.
It doesn't happen that often, but it does certainly happen.
All right. So I guess we're now going to move on to my humble opinion. Steve,
yes.
Do you have a humble opinion this week?
Yes, I actually have two, but I'm going to, I'll save one for later.
I'm sorry. Wait, before I say anything else, because I just remembered that I was supposed to ask you something. Have you ever heard, what was the name of the show? There's some show that I was told to ask you about. What?
By whom?
Was it? It was some anime. Fuck, I can't remember.
Why are you
They're
supposed
gonna
to ask me?
The people at work are gonna hate me because I forgot the name.
Did they ask you to tell me that, or did they tell you to ask me this because they thought I would know, or to test me or something?
No, because they thought it would be hilarious if I asked you about it for some reason, and I didn't. I looked it up for some. Oh god, I can't remember. Fuck it, I can't remember now. I'll have to look it up later.
Is it Boku no Pico?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not.
Good. That's not a thing you should look up, but it is the thing you usually tell people to look up when you want to have fun with them about anime.
Ah, okay. Well, too bad.
It's about pedophilia. Never mind.
Oh, ew, gross. All right, well, never mind.
I agree.
So tell me about your humble opinion. What was it again?
Well, I haven't told you yet. I just said I had two of them.
Oh, dirt.
But one of them I might not even do at all. I'll maybe save it for next week. But I want to talk about, because I have at this point been listening to for a very long time, Critical Role. Are you familiar with the Critical Role, Adam?
No, don't know what that is.
Critical Role is basically the de facto Dungeons & Dragons game that you listen to. It's like, you know, when people, it's like a podcast, I guess, is the closest thing I can describe. It's, you know, somebody filming a game being played and you just listen to it. And
sure.
This is like the one. This is like the unofficial D&D podcast game to listen to.
Okay.
Run by Matt Mercer, if you're familiar with Matt Mercer.
I feel like I've heard of Matt Mercer. Why do I?
He's the voice of McCree. He's a voice actor.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
It's him and his collection of other voice actors, which if you look up actually have quite the impressive list of acting credits under their belt. I had no idea any of these were them, but I did look it up before. But it's still ongoing, and it's going for a very long time. I believe at last count there is 125 episodes. And I am at episode 50 now, at time of speaking.
Okay.
And it's taking a long time, because every episode's like 4 hours long. So I only listen to like one a day while I'm at work doing my busy work and things. And some story on this. I was adamantly against Critical Role. But the whole time, just forever, ever since I heard about it, adamantly against it, because I didn't appreciate what it did for the game. More on that later. I know that this topic will not interest many people, but I hear that if you talk about something you're passionate about passionately enough, people will still be interested. So I'm hoping people can follow me on this ride for a little bit while I talk about Dungeons and Dragons.
Fuck it. Let's go. Why not?
So, I have been listening to this show for 50 episodes now, which has been, you know, like every day for 5 days a week. I don't do it at home, but I do it at work. So, you know, however many days that is. And I was wrong about it. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. The people who play it are definitely, and I say this with the least amount of disrespect as possible, voice actors first and players second. If you see what I'm saying, it's not that they don't know how to play.
Sense.
It's just kind of actually shocking how many rules they forget as players. And no one should be expected to know all the rules except for the guy running the game. That's fine. But, you know, they do tend to not read things all the way through, or, you know, forget their action economy or whatever. It happens sometimes, you know, but it's a little jarring to see these pseudo-professionals get it wrong. But the problem with this show, despite the fact that it's good, and it is, they're all very talented, and it's a very engaging narrative, and they're all very good at it, and Matt Mercer is indeed a very good Dungeon Master. The problem that we have here is what has been termed the Matthew Mercer effect, which is it's the idea that this represents what Dungeons & Dragons should be like, and people will take that with them to their own games and be either disappointed that it does not line up with that, or will desperately try to recreate Matt Mercer's style of DMing. Both of those things are bad. He's a professional who is paid to do this. All his free time is dedicated to this because it's his job. And also, you know, he gets to, like, it's fun and junk. But, like, you know, you're not going to be as good as him. And the people you play with are not going to be as good as him. So if you take this home with you and you think to yourself, Dungeons & Dragons isn't anything like this, you're going to ruin your game for everybody else if you try to make that happen. And that's why I was against the show from the beginning here. It's because I know people who have watched the show and tried to recreate this, like, verbatim. Like, tried to be Matt Mercer. And that's a really dangerous proposition because you are not Matt Mercer. You can't do what he can do. And he himself has actually said that. He's actually said, I don't like when people try to do that, because you should never try to imitate somebody else. You should just try to have fun at your own game, you know?
Yeah.
Do your
so
own
what
thing.
Exactly are they trying to do to imitate him? That's what I'm confused
so
about here.
Well, it's difficult to explain because it's basically just a style of storytelling. But he definitely... The key variables to being a Matt Mercer-style DM is add about 50% more description to any random noun the party might encounter. Like, anything they can see will be discussed, and it will be verbalized longer than it probably needs to be. That's just how he does things. It really fucking paints you a picture. It gets a little tedious, but, you know, that's the thing that people... But he does it in moderation, where those people will do it for everything. They will, like, overboard, because they don't understand the delicate balance of, you know, like, maybe this thing didn't need explaining, but you're doing it anyway. And also the other thing that he does is fucking very in-depth voice actor changes and accents and shit. But, you know, he's a professional voice actor, so he can do those things.
Yeah.
Normal people like you and me can't do those things. And it's not necessary. It's just, you know, a thing he does. So, oh, and the verbiage. He also uses a lot of, like, specific things to his game. Like, it's difficult to explain them, but if you were listening, you would know what he's talking about. And using those words in your game is a dead giveaway that you are Matt Mercer inspired, we'll say. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that you are trying to supplant him onto your game by using those words.
Yeah, it's obvious.
He doesn't have a fucking monopoly on words, but, like, you know, if you're using them in the context he uses them, it's difficult not to draw those comparisons. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Sure, yeah. He has, like, a style and, like, a kind of, like, a flavor, so to speak, of words.
Yeah. And if exactly. It's a voice. It's like if you were a painter and you spent your entire life trying to recreate the works of other painters, then you're not really, you know, you're not contributing
to the zeitgeist
of art. You're just parroting it, basically.
You're just, that makes sense.
Which is effectively what's going on here. Now... The problem with that mostly is that people can't tell the difference, and they're thinking that they're doing, like, justice to the format, when in fact they are just, you know, ruining their own game, probably. And it's extra bad because lots of people do not like to play that way. In fucking, excuse me, I haven't talked this long in a while, in Matt Mercer's game, they have had many times where two of the players will talk to each other and everyone else just sits quietly for, like, 10 minutes. And that's fine, because it's a story, and it's basically no different than reading a book, because, you know, sometimes characters do talk to each other and the other people are not interacting with them. So that's fine, and he will sit there quietly, and he will let them finish, and then they'll give him a sign that they're done talking, and then he will continue with the scene. And that's fine, it works, but lots of people do not want to play that way. fucking, I'm gonna say I have two groups. I have one and a half groups, because one of them I haven't played with in a long time now. But the group I have currently that I play with mostly, I have two lovely souls that would probably be willing to let me do that, and two people that would just probably leave because it would bore them. I have, like, they're only interested in the fighting of shit, which is fine. You know, that's what the game's about. It's about killing monsters and shit. That's fine.
Yeah.
But, like, if I tried to bring this flavor with me to the game, I would lose those people because that's not what they're here for. And that's what's so dangerous about this Critical Role idea, is that, like, when you use this as a template to try to, you should never watch Critical Role before you play the game. You should always play the game, and then you can use Critical Role to be better at the game. Because if you come in with that expectation of this is what the game is like, you will be sorely disappointed, because it's mostly a bunch of pretzel-eating, beer-swilling idiots rolling dice and going, woo, and shit. Or on their phones. So you're not going to have a good time. I'm not really doing the game justice either, saying that, but, like, you know, realistically, nobody's got their fucking hands on their mouth, like, at every plot corner. Most people are like, is it my turn yet? Okay. You know, that's the kind of, that's the reality of the game. So, it's a little frustrating to see that that's representative of the game that I love so much, because Dungeons & Dragons is the best game in the world and the greatest hobby ever. And it's a little frustrating that new people, coming in are going to have a bad example of what the game is like, because they have only ever seen professionals do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's alarming.
I mean, for people like me, I find that Dungeons & Dragons is very hard to, like, start in, because there's just so many things to learn right away, that I would definitely...
It's a daunting game.
Yeah, there's just a lot to it. It's complicated. And there's a lot of room for creativity and stuff, which is great, makes it a great game, mm-hmm. but it also, it also makes it overwhelming.
Absolutely.
I would love to have a show that I could, like, listen to or watch or whatever, so I could just kind of get a taste for it, that maybe not that show, because it sounds like that, like you were saying, it gives you, like, a bad example of what the game is. But, like, I can understand why a lot of people do that, because, you know, at least now you know kind of what the game is. See, I was just thinking about maybe listening to this show since you were talking, but then it's like, oh, wait, that shouldn't be my first experience with Dungeons & Dragons? Right. Ah, fuck.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem that a lot of people, that poor newbies like you have, is that, like, the easiest way to get into this game is to have somebody who already knows how to play tell you how to play. That's the only real... There's no really any shortcuts to this. You can either teach yourself to do it the long way, or have somebody who knows how to do it tell you how to do it. Because it is, as you were saying, a very long learning curve. Once you've got it, it's really easy. Like, it takes almost no time to whip up a character or something once you know how you're supposed to do it. And there's lots of tools that can help you do that. It's actually not that hard once you know what you're looking for. But, like, this is such a readily available thing, and it's such, like, the face of Dungeons & Dragons to so many people, that it's the first thing you find. Like, if I was to Google, like, you know, Dungeons & Dragons gameplay, this would be, like, the first 10 things that came up would probably be this. Like, fucking Matt Mercer's World is an official D&D book. Like, I have it on my shelf right now. You can just buy his game. And that's exciting for lots of people, I'm sure. I only bought it because I'm a sicko and I have to have all the books. But, like... It's a problem, is what it is. And it's not his fault. It's other people's faults, because they don't know any better. And nobody's telling them that, like, hey, this is actually not the game you're going to play at all. Like, not remotely the same. I mean, there's some really good DMs out there that can possibly... You might get lucky, and this might be accurate to what you play, but, like, realistically, probably not. You know, you're probably just going to have a group of your pals hanging around. It's like, hey, can I do this? And it's like, sure, roll me a whatever. And then, you know, gameplay ensues. But this, like, fucking epic narrative that he weaves with all of the character backgrounds. Dude, honest to God, I have characters in my game that don't even have names sometimes.
Wow. So yeah, because so he just like is super detail oriented and like telling you all this.
Well, I like, don't feel like having a name is a super detail oriented thing. I feel like that should just be a baseline character feature. But
fine,
let me be clear. I would be ecstatic to play in a Matt Mercer style game. I would love to have that opportunity. But I understand that's not what everybody's looking for. And when I DM for my group, that's not what they're looking for. So I don't do that. I would love to be able to do that, but
maybe you
they
could
don't want that, so I don't do that.
Into it.
No.
No, you couldn't add.
I've already
sprinkles?
Got these people as close to, like as much as I'm gonna get them. I've got them. This is as good as it's gonna get, I think.
All right. Fair enough. Well, then, did you want to talk about your other humble
opinion?
Well,
hang on, I'm not done yet.
Oh, you're not done. Okay. Go ahead.
No, this was gonna be a long one. That's why I asked people to come along with me on this. I actually told myself I was going to prepare notes on this one so I would, like, do this topic justice, but then I obviously didn't do that. And we started recording late today, which gave me a second chance to start those notes, and I still didn't do it. So, you know, that's why we're just doing this in a rambling sort of way, like we always do. What the people come for, they come for the sporadic, not scripted bullshit that I'm spewing. So,
yeah, okay.
I think it's a good idea, and, like, say we'll use you for an example. I think new players are great because you have no expectations and you don't know what is like you don't know what you're supposed to be able to do or what the game's actually like. And everything you learn about, it's like, oh, cool. And then you have unrestrained creativity about what you want to do because you have no preconceived notions of what the game is supposed to be like. And I love that. But if you've watched something like this already, you basically have an idea of what you expect out of the game to be. And you're going to have a bad first game when you realize that this is not, I'm not Matt Mercer and I can't help you, is basically what I'm saying. So my humble opinion, Critical Role is in fact a pretty awesome thing. And they're all very talented. Like, holy shit, some of them are so on the ball, dude. Like, some of them are like, oh my God, I can't believe that this guy is not a professional Dungeons and Dragons player. He's just like a voice actor that also plays this as a hobby. And then some of them are like, wow, that was such a softball role-playing moment that you did totally fucked up, but whatever. I'm not going to name any names though in case they're listening, but in my humble opinion, it's awesome, but you should totally watch it, but you should watch it after you've played the game a bunch. This should be a thing that you come to later with an appreciation of the game, not a thing you start with and take to the game with you.
Gotcha.
If you're following
makes
me
sense. Yep, I do.
And Adam, anytime you want to start learning how to play D&D, you let me know because I will happily teach you how to play, and I will definitely play with
you. I'll think about it. I just don't have enough time. Like, I have so many things that I'm already interested in.
It only takes 8 hours a day.
Oh, only.
I mean, it doesn't really, but that's how long I'd like to play for. I see no reason to have short sessions.
All right. Well, do you want to do your other one, or can I go?
No, go ahead.
Alright, cool. So, this is gonna be a weird one for me. So, my wife has started watching this show called Teen Mom 2.
So,
Teen Mom 2 is... So, Teen Mom, the original, is just like a bunch of 16-year-old girls who got pregnant, and then, like, the show is just following them. Throughout their pregnancy, and like,
it is,
you know,
amazing what people will watch on television.
I know. And then Teen Mom 2, the babies are already born, and it's just like, you know, they're all young mothers, and they're like trying to figure out their shit. Some of them have exes that are super horrible. Some of them are dating guys they shouldn't be dating.
I'm shocked.
Some of them, like,
they sound
like
they make such good life choices, though.
Like, some of them have, like, medical issues, the kids have medical issues that they're trying to figure out how to deal with. One of them got married to the person that she had the kid with, but then it turns out that she cheated on him the day before the wedding, and now they're getting a divorce. So this show, I've been thinking about it, and I think this show is like sugar. Or high fructose corn syrup or something. It's like, it's not good for you. Like, it's bad. It's not a good show. But you crave it sometimes. And when you're watching it, you can't stop watching it very easily. Like, it just keeps going. And there, oh my god, there's this one, so Janelle is this one character, or like, not character, person. You know, one of these teen moms.
You can say character.
Her mom is, I believe her name is Janet. And Janet is the worst bitch from hell I have ever seen. Like, and she has the most annoying voice of any human being on the planet. She's like, Janelle, you should really stop hanging out with that boy, Kifa. And it's like, oh god, it just grates. His name is Kiefer.
Kiefer.
Okay. Yeah. But she doesn't pronounce it that way. She pronounces it Kifa. And it's my wife does a better impression of that woman than I do, but it's so irritating, and you want to punch her in her stupid bitch face all the fucking time. And yet at the same time, you also hate Janelle because Janelle is constantly making decisions that you don't want her to be making. She's constantly getting back together with Kiefer. She was calling around all of her friends so that she could get somebody to bail Kiefer out of jail on Christmas Day. And the only reason he was in jail was because she, Janelle, had him arrested for abusing her. And now she's trying to bail him out of jail because it's Christmas. And she's freaking out and she's crying. And it's just this whole thing. Like, the show is so stupid. It's so stupid. It's not good. It's not good at all. I hate it. But god fucking damn it, will I watch it every single time that my wife wants to watch it. Like you can't stop watching it. It's mm-hmm. like you get addicted so quickly. You want to know what happens next.
So here's the thing, Adam. I can tell you exactly why it is that you want to watch the show so badly. With science. What's that? You see, it's a primal thing. Because when other people are doing worse than you, you feel better about you. And these people sound like train wrecks. So
yeah, they're all,
everything they do makes you better than them by a small percentage every time.
Yeah.
So you building up your own self-esteem by watching these people. And that's the purpose they serve in our society.
There's this one girl whose name I can't remember right now, but she decides she's getting her own apartment, which is very exciting because she was living with her mom before that. But she never told her mom that she was moving out. And then on the day that she was moving out, she just took a bunch of her mom's furniture with her.
oh my god, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's insane. It's like, there's no way this is real. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, why would you do that? Why? And then, like, her mom calls her later, and she's like, yeah, you're gonna need, you can keep that stuff, but you have to bring the TV back. And the woman was mad about it. She
took
was
the
mad.
TV.
She was mad that her mom was making her return the TV that she fucking stole. Like, what is wrong with you, lady?
Now,
what the,
realistically, these people probably aren't actually like this. It is probably just for TV, but I hope and I pray that they're actually all this stupid, because that would make me so excited.
I like to believe that they're this stupid, but I also don't believe it, because it's like, there's no way that you people would do the things that you're doing. Like no human being would behave like this, but I know that's not true, because people do bullshit all the fucking time.
All you gotta
time,
do is
so
live in,
like,
you just gotta work in customer service for like a week and you will see people at their absolute worst, so. You know that the people are capable of this. It's just that you hope that they're better than it.
Yes, exactly. But anyway, in my humble opinion, Team Mom 2 is like a bad addiction.
As opposed to a good addiction?
To shake it. Well, I mean, I think that there are some good addictions. Like, if you're addicted to drinking water, I feel like that's a pretty decent addiction to have as far as addictions go.
That can still kill you.
I mean, yeah, it can, but like,
you can be overhydrated.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. I think that there are healthier addictions than others, but this one,
I mean, there are less financially or physically ruinous ones, I suppose.
I'm just gonna go ahead and just tell everybody out there, don't watch Teen Mom 2, because you'll regret it and you won't be able to stop watching it. And so that's, you know, the more you know, that's your advice for the day, is that don't inflict Teen Mom 2 on yourself.
Yeah. When I rise to power, things are going to change around here.
Anyway, those are the complaints
Steve,
this week.
Vote for Steve, your local dictator.
Those are the complaints this week. If you can't complain, share it with your friends. Bye!